In the past, God personally called individuals to do His will and to serve Him, did He not? He would enter into their presence, either Himself, through His voice, or maybe by the presence of an angel, and ask individuals to do certain things for Him. Here's what's interesting. God still calls people into His service today, but He does not do so literally and personally. He calls individuals by means of His Word to do His will. He calls individuals through the church and its purpose on earth to do His will. He calls individuals through various works that He wants done on this earth, and He calls us by means of His providence, that is, giving us numerous opportunities to serve and labor in His vineyard. God continues to call people to His service. Here's the question. What will you do when the call comes? And that's the title of this lesson this morning. We're going to break this lesson up into three different points. The first one is this: God's calls of the past. I just want us to be reminded that God has called individuals in the past. One of those was a man by the name of Abraham. Now the Lord said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee." Can you imagine receiving such a call as that out of the blue? No expectations, no preparation. And all of a sudden, God comes to you and says, "I need you to leave your family. I need you to leave your home. I need you to leave everything that is familiar and go to a land that I will tell you about sometime in the future." Difficult call, would it not? Another man that was called to the service of God was a man by the name of Moses. "Come now, therefore," God said unto Moses, "and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest deliver my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Can you imagine such a call as that? 40 years Moses had been gone from the land of Egypt. He's married. He has a family. He's comfortable. He's a shepherd now. And all of a sudden he's asked to go back to a land that he had left and not under very good conditions. Amazing call, isn't it? Another person that was called was a woman by the name of Mary. The Bible tells us that the angel said unto her, "Mary, fear thou not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great." Great. He shall be called what? "The Son of the Highest." "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Wow. Mary, you're going to become pregnant. That astounded her, did it not? How can that be? I've never known a man. And guess what? You are the chosen one to bring the Messiah into this world. He's going to be the very Son of the living God. Man. Got some questions for us just to think about for a minute. Number one, can you imagine being the recipient of any one of those calls? I don't know about you, but I consider myself a pretty average old Joe, don't you? Nothing special, nothing fancy, not famous. And to receive a call like one of those individuals received, hard to imagine, isn't it? Can you imagine hearing the voice of God or hearing the presence of an angel speaking to you, asking you to do the will of the Almighty God? Can you imagine being asked to do the things that those individuals were being asked to do? Again, just up and leave your family, your home, all your comforts. Lead a nation of people of somewhere between 1 million to 2 million individuals from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan for the last 40 years of your life. To bear a child that you know is called the Son of the Highest, and to raise that child from an infant to an adult. Can you imagine being called to do such things. Wow. Do you think those individuals experienced some surprise, some fear, a little bit of shock and confusion? Go back and study every one of those accounts. And those individuals were stunned by the things that they were being asked to do and how these things were going to be accomplished through them. They were just regular, ordinary people, and yet God was calling them to be used in His service. Here's another question. How would you have answered those calls? That's what I'd like to know. If I had been Abraham, would I have done it? If I had been Moses, would I have done it? If one of you ladies had been Mary, would you have been willing to do that? Every one of us want to believe deep down inside that we would have done exactly what those three individuals did, don't we? At least I would like to think that I would. There's a lot of different types of calls. Did you know that? In fact, in this next portion of the lesson, there are 13 different calls that we're going to talk about. You're going to be here way past lunch. Okay, 13 calls. How about the first one? The call to a position. Isn't that what Moses was called to? He was called to be a deliverer, and he was called to be the lawgiver of Israel. A call to a position. We find two, Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was called to a position. I want you to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he refers to himself as called to be an apostle in Romans 1, verse 1. So there are times when God wants us to occupy a certain position in His kingdom, and we are called to that position. How about this one? The call to a work. Noah was called to a work, was he not? Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Wow. You've never seen it rain, not like this on the earth. And I need you to make a massive ark. And in that ark, I'm going to house all the animals and your family, and you'll be saved from a worldwide flood. Make thee an ark. What a work. 120 years. A long time, isn't it? How about this man, a man by the name of Nehemiah? He learned that the walls of the city of Jerusalem were burned, that the gates were torn down, and it was his call, was it not, to go back and rebuild those walls and repair that city. A massive work and undertaking he was called to do. Thirdly, sometimes we're just called to obedience, are we not? King Saul, God came to him once he was king. He says, now go and utterly destroy the Amalekites and all that they have, leaving absolutely nothing behind. A call to obedience. And a difficult call at that. A young prophet, we do not know his name, but he was commissioned, called to go to Jeroboam and prophesy against that king because of his wickedness. Can you imagine going to the king of Israel, the very first king of Israel, and prophesying against him? You see, a call of obedience. Thirdly, there's the call to sacrifice, isn't there? One of the greatest sacrifices ever called upon was Abraham. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2, a sacrifice. What about Esther? Was she called to make a sacrifice? Absolutely. Esther, you must go in and talk to the king. It's going to be the only way that you save your people. And yet she knew she had not been called into the presence of that king for some 30 days and that her life was at risk if he did not hold out the golden scepter to her. A willingness to sacrifice her life for her people. Another call, a call to believe. Sarah was well beyond the age of childbearing, and yet God said Sarah would bring forth a son. And what did she do? She had to just trust in the promises of God. In fact, for 25 years, she had to trust that promise until it was fulfilled. A long time, isn't it? Mary, Can you imagine that promise? You're going to become pregnant. You're going to conceive in thy womb through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to bring forth a son. And that son is going to be Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You just have to trust that, don't you? Because you see, it's just a normal little baby, isn't it? Eats, cries, does all the things that babies do. A little boy growing up in that home, finally turning into a man, looks just like all the other Jews, nothing special about him. And yet this man is the Son of God. Folks, you just trust that kind of a promise, don't you? How about the next one? A call to give. The children of Israel were called to give in order to erect the tabernacle. And they gave so much that they had to be told not to give anymore. We made mention this morning about the individuals in Macedonia and Achaia. Those individuals were giving to the needs of their brethren, and they did so immensely, according to 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. There's the call to worship. It was David who said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord." David was glad to hear those words. It's the Sabbath day. It's time to go worship. It's time to go visit the temple. I can't wait hardly to go. The call to worship. The first century church worshiped on the first day of the week as we are doing today, are we not? And they came together around the Lord's table and broke bread and worshiped just as we are doing at this very hour, the call to worship. There's the next one, the call to evangelize. 12 men. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it was Paul and his company who were called to go into Macedonia. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul heard the call in Acts the 16th chapter. There's also the call to fight. The call to fight. Gideon was called to fight against the armies of the Midianites, was he not? And his armies were reduced to 300, and yet he still entered into the battlefield and was victorious. David was called to fight against Goliath when he appeared on that battlefield, wasn't he? I will go and fight that uncircumcised Philistine. And David answered the call that day. It was the call of Goliath, wasn't he? Give me a man. And David raised his hand and said, here I am. What a call. Folks, there's the call to wait. The children of Israel were standing there on the Red Sea, thinking that they were hemmed in by the armies of the Egyptians, thought there was absolutely nowhere to go, and it was Moses who stood before them and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he delivered them that day from the hand of the Egyptians. Remember those souls that were under the altar in the book of Revelation? They were crying out unto God, God, how long? How long until you give us vengeance against our enemies? And what did God say? Wait. Just patiently wait. And by the end of that revelation, those individuals are exalted and are sitting on thrones, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Just wait. The call to wait. There's the call to help, isn't there? The tabernacle needed to be erected, and two men, they were called artisans, individuals who were craftsmen. And those two men were inspired of God to help build the tabernacle of the Almighty God. Bezalel and another man by the name of Aholiab assisted in that work. Timothy, he was an assistant to the Apostle Paul, wasn't he? Paul said, in fact, that he served me like a son in the gospel. On one occasion, he was especially sent to the church at Philippi in order to find out how that congregation was doing. There's the call to holiness. The Corinthians were called to be holy individuals, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. And the Christians of the dispersion were also told, be holy, even as I am holy. God wants us to be pure and godly, set apart for His service. And lastly, there's the call of salvation, isn't there? Saul of Tarsus was told, arise, go into the city of Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. It was Cornelius and his household who were told to send men to Joppa and fetch a man by the name of Peter who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house may be saved. Acts chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Here's what's interesting. Out of those 13 calls that we just listed, every individual that was called answered the call. Now, there were two of those individuals, however, who did not answer the call obediently. One of them was old King Saul. He was called to go destroy the Amalekites, and he did not do that, not to the way God had instructed. And there was that young prophet. He prophesied against Jeroboam. He was not to stay in the land. He was not to eat. He was not to drink. He was to prophesy and leave the land. And yet he stayed, deceived by an older prophet, and lost his life that day because of it. But every one of those individuals answered the call. Folks, here's the question for us. Would you have answered any one of those calls? We gave 26 examples in the course of those 13 different kinds of calls. Would you have answered the call? Remember, God is still calling today, isn't He? We made mention of that in our introduction. He still desires laborers in His kingdom, people that need to be doing things, works that need to be accomplished, individuals that need to be assisted, positions that need to be obtained, goals that need to be reached, and He's calling us to do those things. And the question is, will I answer the call? In order to answer the call, I need to develop some important qualities in my life. And we're going to list eight of those. Eight qualities that you and I need if we're really going to answer the call of God. The first one is this: we must be prepared. Folks, we have to develop ourselves so that when God's call comes, we are ready to answer it. Paul told the church at Rome, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm ready. I've trained, I've educated myself, I've done the work of God. I'm ready to be in Rome and preach the gospel." You know, a person can be ready, prepared, but not willing. That's the second qualification, isn't it? I've got to have a will to do what God wants me to do. We may mention of those Macedonians and how they gave liberally, even though they were in poverty themselves. And Paul says this, "For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power." They were what? They were willing of themselves. I want to do the will of God. I want to see the church grow. I want the Lord's cause to be successful. I want to be faithful. I want to be dedicated. I want to be an asset to the body of Christ. I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done. Folks, we need a lot of Christians to develop a deep will to do what God wants done. How about the next one? We've got to be humble, do we not? We're going to be reading about a king in 2 Kings by the name of Josiah. In the course of going in and doing some repairs on the temple, they found the law of God. And immediately they brought that law into the king and they read it in his hearing, and Josiah was greatly distressed. And God commended him for his humility. Notice, "Because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord." You see, in order to do the will of God, you and I have got to get ourselves out of the picture, don't we? We've got to humble ourselves before God and say, "God, it's not about me. It's about what You desire and what You want in my life." It's the only way we'll answer the call of God. How about this next one? There's got to be a desire to be obedient unto God. Sometimes we hear the call of Saul of Tarsus, and we think that he just had to obey what God wanted him to do. And that's not so. Saul could have rebelled at any point that he so desired, and he makes mention of that in Acts 26:19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto what? The heavenly vision. You know what that tells me? He could have been if he wanted to. Doesn't it? This is what God wanted him to do. I want you to be an apostle. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to be redeemed by Jesus' blood. He didn't have to. But he had a heart of obedience unto the Almighty God. How about this next one? Just trust. Trust. A while ago we made mention of the fact that Abraham had been called to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. That's just hard to imagine, isn't it? He waited 25 years for this son. Now this son had been in his home for 10, 15, maybe even as many as 20 years. He's the son of promise. He's the one through whom the Messiah is supposed to come. And God says, take your son and slay him on a mountain in Moriah. It's tough, isn't it? But Abraham did exactly what God wanted done. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Now notice he says he was justified by works. But he continues and says this, seest thou how that faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? How did Abraham manifest his faith? By being obedient unto God. That's how he did it. God said, take your son and make him an offering to me. And Abraham did exactly what God told him to do, didn't he? And notice what the Bible says. And the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him unto righteousness, and he is called the friend of God. Folks, it takes a deep trust in what God says to do. Sometimes our will doesn't want to do it. Sometimes the thing that God asks us to do repels us. And yet we still obey. Why? Because God knows what's best. How about this one? A commitment to doing what needs to be done. I can't imagine being Esther. She knew exactly how those kings operated in her day. She hadn't been called into the king for 30 days. And now Mordecai wants her to go in and speak to him. I can lose my life, folks. Put yourself in her situation. And what did she say? I will go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. That's commitment, is it not? If I have to die, then I die. Esther 4, verse 16. There has to be a focus as well. If I'm going to do what God wants me to do, I've got to stay focused on His work. O Nehemiah, he had all kinds of distractions during those 52 days while they were building the walls. Two men, enemies of God, a man by the name of Sanballat, another one by the name of Geshem, were constantly on Nehemiah. They petitioned him, wanted him to come to one of the cities on the plains of Oh No, and Nehemiah says, Oh no, not me. He was focused on the work. Notice what he says. And he sent messenger unto them saying, I am doing a great work and therefore I cannot come. Notice, why should the work cease while I come down to you? Here's a man who is focused on doing what God wants done. No excuses. No excuses, folks. Moses was called to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. And he did a wonderful job, did he not? But go back and study the call. Excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse was given by Moses as to why I can't do this. Look at this next verse, Exodus 4:14. and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God didn't want to tolerate Moses' excuses. Oh, we can find all kinds of excuses not to do God's will, can't we? Folks, God wants none of them. None of them. In the introduction of this lesson, we talked about the fact that God is still calling us today, didn't we? Oh no, He's not going to show up in your bedroom one night and say, "Hey, I need you to do this." You're not going to be walking down the road one day and an angel just fly out of the heavens and ask you to do something. Folks, God's calling us to do things in the pages of this book, isn't He? There's the Lord's church that's located right here at 1025 Snug Harbor Court in Atlantic Beach. And we have a mission, we have a job, we have a cause as to why we're here. There are all kinds of works that this church is involved in. And every day, God gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity in order to do His will through His providence. And there's the question that we've been asking the whole day. What are you going to do when the call comes? That's the question. There's the call to worship. And the first call ain't 11 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. That's the first call, isn't it? There's Bible study. There's the call to Bible study. Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Wow. I don't know if I want to answer that call or not. See, what will you do when the call comes? We got a vacation Bible school coming up. Tuesday nights for the next 4 weeks. Hour and 45 minutes, my goodness. I don't know if I can stand an hour and 45 minutes. What are you going to do when the call comes, folks? We need laborers. We need helpers. Shouldn't have to beg people to do that. The call comes. The works of the church. We've talked about those. The clothing closet. A huge work of the church. There's a call to evangelize, is there not? Go ye into all the world. We come into contact every day with individuals that need the gospel of Christ, do we not? There's the call to give, and that's one thing this congregation has done well for the last 3 or 4 years. Unbelievably well. There's the call to help, is there not? There are individuals who need our assistance. There's the call to fight the good fight of faith. There's the call to be holy. You see, when we start making it personal, it gets ugly, doesn't it? We don't like to hear what we're hearing. But it's true. God is calling us to do things, folks. Here's what's interesting. The calls that God gives to us today, most of the time, aren't to exalted positions and don't involve powerful works. You and I are never going to be a Moses. And you're never going to have a rod and bring 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt. You're not going to do that. You're not going to be an Apostle Paul. And be an apostle to the Gentiles. It's not going to happen. Here's the thing. The calls of God today usually are small, simple responsibilities. But notice that last part. But they are very important at a particular place and at a particular time in history, folks. God needs us. He calls us. And when the call of God comes, how will you answer? That's the question. How have you answered it in the past? Maybe we need to repent, don't we? And ask God to forgive us. You see, we love to read those Old Testament stories like Abraham and Moses, don't we? Wow, what great people they are. A little maiden by the name of Mary who answers the call and brings forth Jesus into the world and is there even at the foot of the cross of Calvary. We love those stories. My friend, if we love those stories, why don't we become the kind of people they were and continue to answer the call of God? Today, God is calling individuals to obey the gospel, isn't He? 2 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. And the steps are simple. Hear the precious word of God. Have faith in Jesus as the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess the beautiful name of Christ, and bury the old man of sin in the waters of baptism so the blood of Jesus can cleanse you of your iniquity. It's amazing how many individuals who have heard that call and continue to rebel against it. Folks, one of the reasons the Lord delays His call or His coming is so that you and I can do what we need to do to be right in His sight. Is there something you need to do today? If so, won't you come as together we stand and sing?